He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, I am ready to hear all about your zucchini special.
Is that what you're ready to hear? After
yeah.
you had it all last weekend and you ate it, your homecoming dinner that I made with lots of date squares and lots of chocolate chunky cookies, and oh, they're all health mine.
I am a bottomless pit.
No,
I cannot get filled up on carbohydrates. It's amazing.
Wow.
What a beautiful state to be in. I can just stuff myself continuously, derive vast amounts of organic pleasure, and wake up and I still got a nice six pack there.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be doing it for too long there, buddy boy.
I know. Now you add on that, the compounded interest of six beers every night.
I know.
But it's been fun, and it's the wonderful reward of all the discipline and hard work for grinding out and squeezing myself down to the point I'm so empty there's nothing left inside.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks is okay, but I mean, everything what you grind out on is like somebody going on a major hardcore diet. But I mean, you know, you wouldn't be doing that for your whole life, grinding out on my baking.
No, and our premise has always been, if you work with quality and whole foods, it doesn't do the damage that the refined junk stuff does.
Absolutely.
Especially your wonderful treats. Oh my goodness.
I know. Well, you came home and I had a nice big stack of date squares, and I had a whole bunch of cookies made for you, and then we had a gathering together, and what I did was called a meal on a stick. Which is just skewered. I just, you know, put meal on a stick. But it's skewered veggies and skewered prawns. And you can skewer anything. But one of the key things that you want to make sure is those skewers need to be soaked in water. Otherwise, they burn. And those skewers are quite sharp. So you really need to be careful. I gouged myself a few times. Anyway, zucchini is really happening. It's known as a summer squash. It's a very popular member of the gourd family. Gourd, I like that word. And one of the most abundant and economical and versatile vegetables that there is. Because it really takes on the flavor of anything that you use with it, right?
I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is zucchini a vegetable or a fruit?
Fruit.
You're right.
Hey!
Let me read this.
I know my stuff.
In a culinary context, the zucchini is treated as a vegetable. So cooks and people, like I would normally think of
yes.
it as a vegetable.
Yeah.
But in the botanical sense, in the scientific sense, it's an immature fruit being the swollen ovary of the zucchini flower.
Oh, lovely. When you put it that way.
Eating ovary. Let's have some ovaries for dinner, shall we?
When you put it that way, it doesn't sound too appetizing, honey.
Oh, by the way, everyone, this is what's cooking, so please continue.
Yeah, exactly. It's available all year long, but it's peak during the late springtime. But I tell you, there's an abundance going on here right now, usually around August, September. So zucchini is cylindrical in shape, and sometimes you get them huge, big zucchinis and the smaller zucchinis. And the smaller ones are the most flavorful. The larger zucchinis can be a little bit tougher. And they're quite perishable, so you should use them as soon as you can. Don't leave them laying around or else they get dried up. And they can be stored in a plastic bag in the refrigerator for up to about 4 days. And there's a multitude of things that you can do with the zucchini, from eating them raw to baking them to putting them on a skewer like I did. So what I did with the zucchini was I cut it up in slices, thick slices. I laid those slices on a plate. I added a little bit of nice Himalayan sea salt and drizzled on some olive oil and some nice ground pepper. And I let it sit for a little while, and I put it in the fridge and let it sit probably for an hour or two until I needed it. And then I skewered them, so they're all flat, put them on the barbecue. The barbecue is nice and clean, and I olive oiled the barbecue for about 3 minutes because they cook quite quickly, and you want to have them kind of just a little bit mushy in the center and crunchy on the outside. And then you just take them off the skewer, and everybody has a beautiful meal, and it's just so easy and so delicious, and they taste even better the next day left over, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I'm just looking at the world's records. The longest zucchini known ever is 7 feet, 10 inches.
Lord.
And then another one was the heaviest, is 129 pounds.
Holy Toledo.
I mean, that's some big tamale, huh?
Feed the whole city.
I know, you know, because they have these competitions, right? I was thinking, because they got the pumpkins and gourds, and that's sure somewhere somebody has been focusing on growing a big sucker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I keep the skins on when I use the zucchini. I also did some colored peppers. I cut them up, and I did the same thing. Add a little olive oil, a little salt and pepper, and I skewered them. And they are just delicious. And if you have leftovers of any of this stuff, you can use it in rice, or you can use it in an egg dish. There's a multitude of things you can use. So I always like to make a little bit more than what I need, so I have some leftover for the next day. That's always a really good idea to do with any type of food, because the leftovers are always...
Well, what I liked about the long slices is that you can hold it in your hand, because I like to eat with my hands, you know, Polynesian, Samoan, Hawaiian lifestyle.
You mean, you know? Like on the skewer?
Yeah, I just like to hold things in my hand. So if you've got a little tiny round disc of a zucchini, you can hold it in your hand. But I like the long way that you cut them, and then you can sort of hold it in your hand and eat it like a piece of bread or something.
Right.
You just chomp on it, and then the other one in your hand, you might have a piece of meat or chicken or fish going on, you know?
Right. I also did some prawns. And so I had some prawns, some peppers, and some zucchini, and it was all just meal on a stick. And everybody, I mean, somebody said that, oh, a meal on a stick. And I thought, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And then I had a nice quinoa salad with some feta cheese and olives and green onion and some salt and pepper and garlic with some olive oil. And it was just so, such a nice, you put all the food on top of the quinoa, and it was easy.
That quinoa was so good.
It was so bloody easy, you know.
Goodness.
You don't need a lot of ingredients.
No.
And that really turns me off when I see a recipe that's got, like, you know, 15 ingredients in it that I have to run out and buy, because usually I don't have it. And then, you know, it takes forever to prepare. But good food does not take a long time to prepare.
No.
If you have good quality food. So try that. Kids love it, too. It's a great little meal for kids, except watch those skewers, because sometimes they can be pretty sharp. Anyway, that's my meal on a stick.
Awesome. Good stuff. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Michael Chenier. Now, he had some really interesting pieces of information regarding website, magazines, and writing and business cards. And I'm just going to, as I was listening to it, I wrote stuff down because I thought it was so fascinating. And he says about 75% of people Google you before they actually contact you. So if they meet you and they're interested in your business, 75% of people will go on to Google and look at your website. So that's really important to know. However, business cards are still in with your website on.
Let's hold that thought. Now, I was just reading something about the dude that invented the mouse, you know, for computers.
Yeah.
The guy's a billionaire.
Of
and he
course.
Invented a mouse. Okay.
Yeah.
So, because every computer's got a mouse, usually. I've got the newer one that's wireless now.
Yeah.
So, instead of a business card, we have got to come up with an idea, something electronic, something super sophisticated, something very slick and cool, super practical, where no business card, no print, but where's the idea? I don't know, a flashing light or a gizmo or something. I don't
Corey.
Know. But what could it be where you're in nightclubs, you meet somebody, instead of giving them a business card, you give them a blank to the blank.
Corey, everybody, most people, except you and me, they've got cell phones, they've got the smartphone, they've got the internet on their telephone. They will just do it right away.
Yeah.
They'll just look at you and say, what was your name again? And they Google you. So that is what was going on right now. Also, he says that emails should have all your business info on the bottom of the email, like your website, your telephone numbers.
Yeah, we do that.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
we do.
Right. Yeah.
But maybe
so it's
some
just,
people
so it's a
don't.
Quick reference, and they can even click that if they want to get in, because everything's about speed, isn't it?
Exactly. And also, he could not stress enough the power of simplicity.
Yeah.
The KISS method. Keep it simple, sweetheart.
Yeah.
So you want to keep the name of the domain simple. And a good little catchphrase is a good idea to have, something fun. And like I said, he really emphasizes keeping it simple in the name and simple in the concept and keep it organized and always moving forward. Regarding your .com, .ca, .biz, .whatever, .net, he says .com is the first choice
yep.
in the world and .ca, I guess, in Canada.
Well, he said CoreyHawley.com was just an awesome one, right?
Well, of course.
The way it sounds, I mean, I think that's so cool because I'm into how it sounds and how it looks, that when you say it, you know, like it, you can't have a long website address if it's difficult to remember or spell. Like some people give you names that are hard to spell.
Well, you know, the only thing that I have found with CoreyHawley.com is some people say C-O-R-E-Y.
Right.
H-O-L-L-E-Y, right? So, you know, that's the only thing. But
You can buy, we didn't get into this, but let's say that I came up with a bunch of alternative names to my website, say Sports Nutrition Education. I could apply for that website and actually have that so that if anybody went to that one, they would also get to mine.
Right.
Right?
Okay, he also says that it costs approximately, and this is a pretty average estimate because I've asked other people, $700 to $1,200 for the initial cost for a basic good website. So anybody out there who's looking for, you know, to get a website, it doesn't cost thousands and thousands.
No, and it's quite reasonable when you think of the startup cost for a business. That's extremely practical.
Mm-hmm. And your logo. Logo, very important. It's what sets you apart. It's your identity, your self-confidence, it reflects you. And you have to really like your logo, he says. You can't just take a logo that somebody else designed for you and you're kind of humming and hawing about it. You have to really love that logo.
Hey, how much do I love my logo?
You love your logo, dear.
So much as what?
You tattooed it on your arm. Oh, brother.
Now,
anyway,
I say that's what
sure,
that's commitment.
Make sure that the logo can be used on print, it can be used online, it can be used in black and white, on T-shirts, postcards, mailouts, etc. So that logo is who you are. Make sure that it can be used in everything that you do in your business.
Yeah, I'm going to get it on my forehead now and make it glow in the dark.
Whatever.
I'm going to have a laser beam in it so that it hypnotizes everyone to sign up for the CSNA program.
I'm sure you would if you could. On the homepage, the visual impression on the website should reveal what they get as an end result. I think that's really, really cool. Whatever you have on your website, show them what they're going to get as the end of the result.
It's almost like a subliminal message, right?
Yeah.
So you're looking at it without knowing the message is you're going to get this, whatever that message is, because of the graphics?
Yeah, yeah. I really like that. He says most people spend 3 minutes on your homepage, the max, and they said if they're not interested, they won't, you know, take a look any further. But keep it simple imagery. And if you've got use of social media, keep it updated, CoreyHawley with Facebook. Right.
I know. I never wanted to do that stupid thing anyway, but now I'm doing it.
Be me.
And I don't put the time and energy. I knew that I wouldn't. That's maybe why I hesitated, because my site is what I'm into, my website.
I know.
But, you know, these are
got to get with the times,
important.
Man.
I know.
Times. Anyway, I just wanted to send it out there again. If any of our listeners, especially CSNA students and graduates, would like to write in any one of Michael's online magazines, let me know. And now remember, he's looking for long-term writers, not one-shot deal, not one article.
Well, I've got to call him now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm calling with him, and I'm excited because I'm going to just focus on that one column with all the knowledge that I'm learning and from investigation and research on anti-aging and healthy aging life extension stuff.
Mm-hmm. So just so you know, even if you're not a grad or you're not a student of the CSNA, but you are an SNU listener and you've got something to say in the world of health and fitness and life, if you go to see his magazines online, to the last month's SNU, if you have an idea, bring it forth. Put it
well,
on
you come up with a column idea.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've got an idea, a theme. So don't just write another article about personal training. Come up with a theme, a concept that's unique that no one else has thought of.
Even if it's about business.
Yeah.
Let's say you're a high-tech business guy. Let's say you're into whatever it is you're into. You're into feet. You're into hats, because it's got an array of different broad spectrum of different articles that you can write. It's not just about health and fitness. That's what we do. But he's, you know, just take a check it out anyway. But if you're into writing and you want to go long term, this is the guy to do it with.
Right on.
Thank you, Michael Chenier.
Yeah.
Really appreciate your insight.
Yes, exactly. So moving on to our CHI update. What's up?
Well, Dr. C, Dr. Hawley, Mr. Big Hawaii is now Mr. Universe runner-up, silver medalist.
You know what? What a great competition. 32 categories, a five-hour show in Chicago, hundreds of athletes participating, a great crowd. Some of the highlights were the pros, unbelievable, beautiful muscle, unbelievable. This is 162-year-old dude that was just incredible. I mean, natural bodybuilding is an anti-aging lifestyle. It is still the best one I know of. Now, we're talking whole food, supplements, and living the noble life, not eating junk and crap and training. It's the whole schmeal, right?
Yeah.
So there was the world champion, teenage natural, phenomenal. He did a guest posing, came out in the crowd. They got up on stage. There was little kids like 6 years old doing crab poses, you know, the most muscular. The crowd went mental. That was, I think, the favorite highlight of the whole show.
Aww.
These little kids were lined up, three of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they were five, six, and seven. Little guys.
That's
and then
great.
He came beside them and started doing a pose down with them. And then they got right into it. They were doing the crab shot. It was awesome.
So how do you get 32 categories? That's a little...
Well, they've got not only the categories, but within the category, they've got the age separation, right?
Oh, right.
So if you get into the men's, and then you get the grandmaster, the master, the ultramaster, and a lot of that applies to the other categories, but you got the fitness model, the diva, bikinis, and then you've got the different age groups and the different height categories.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there were so many categories. But it was well-run, organized really well. I met a lot of great friends. The dude that beat me out by a point, it was a pose down. We were tied neck and neck. Finally, we came out. You know how they get the pose down? They want a final presentation. So the crowd loved that. And, of course, three judges went with Michael and two for me. I didn't care either way. Neither did he. We knew that may the best man win. And that day, he took the victory, and I was more than happy just to be part of that whole process.
Oh, that's great. That's a good attitude, Corey.
The idea that I try and get across to people is don't go to win, because if you do go to win and you're hell-bent on winning and you have to win, what happens if you don't win?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? We got subjective judgment here. What if those three judges would have chose me instead of him? And they could have. How do they differentiate between what you like or don't like or what you seek? You know, like these judges are looking through their eyes. Well, they're not seeing what you and I are seeing necessarily.
Yeah, exactly.
They're sitting down. They're looking up. The lights are different, right?
However, I said to you who had the biggest calves, and what did you say?
I did?
Yeah, you said you had the biggest calves.
Yeah, I usually do. Having those calves is definitely a great asset.
And you said you were the beefiest.
No, I came in at 200. That's the lightest I think I've ever been for a show because I wanted to get ripped up for this. In the Hawaiian, I was 202. I did weigh myself there. I was 200 flat, right on the dot, right?
Yeah.
But next time is going to be a big event when I turn 60 because I think I've had enough for a while.
No, I think I've had enough for a while.
Yeah. Doing two shows back-to-back like that was extra tough.
I got pretty lean, too.
It's a great lesson in discipline. It's a great lesson in setting goals and having vision. It makes a positive impact on a lot of people. The fact that so-called at my age, I'm reaching out, I'm going towards the best that I can achieve. And having a goal, having something in the future to work towards is really a good thing. I think a lot of people, they lack that in their life, and they bottom out. They kind of like to slide down a slope in the wrong direction.
Most people do.
Yeah.
I tell you, most people do. But anyway, yes, congratulations. He brought me home a silver medal. I told him he's always got to bring me something home for everything he puts me through.
Yeah, so it's nice to have that medal hanging on the wall and get my photographs. Now, Frank Alvarez, what a wonderful man. He's a CSNA grad. He's a lieutenant colonel, been in the military as an Air Force pilot for 25 years, incredibly intelligent, well-versed, great speaker. He comes down with Jane, his love mate, and they take in the show for the very first time. They have never seen a bodybuilding show, and I'm so glad that it was a natural show. But they were very impressed because the Americans, they like that entertainment, right?
Yeah,
so they drive down a couple hours, pick me up, and then we go up to where he lives on this beautiful, beautiful acreage, 20 acres of forest. His own friends who are pilots come and hunt on the property and share the deer meat. Then I met a couple of them. It was cool. We went for some rides. You know, Frank is a professional, elite cyclist. he just played with me. We went out for what he calls just a very light warm-up ride, 25 miles.
Sheesh.
And my butt was killing me, as it usually does with those seats, driving up between as a wedge. It was great. Now, Wisconsin is a beautiful state, tons of corn and tons of cows.
Yeah.
But the people were friendly and warm. I met a lot of Frank's family, his daughter Alyssa. She just graduated from Madison. Now she's going to Palmer, which is a chiropractic school. We want to get her on the program, CSNA. So a word of wisdom to all you people out there, you've got to get out and promote your business. You've got to get out and sell it through by being who you are. Now, that means if you have a business that's like a ball and chain, and what I mean by that is like it's something tangible, like say a gym. Now, in your perimeter of 5 or 10 miles around that gym, you've got to get out and sell who and what you are doing to people. Develop the network, right?
And even if it's further away from where most people can come to your business, they will come because you service them well.
Exactly. And then you create an exchange.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like with Harlan in Finlandia, he went out when he created Vancouver's first natural pharmacy, and he went out knocking on doors to chiros, to naturopaths, to MDs in preventive medicine, introduced himself, gave them a card, and then said, you know, you come my way, I'll send people your way. He created a network of win-win, right?
And also you saw Kevin Pollak as well.
And we did a seminar with Frank. We did it in this 150-year-old church in Milwaukee, which was a trip in itself. I'll never forget that. And then Kevin came down. Now, he is in Lake Geneva, a beautiful facility, 1,600 acres, 3 golf courses, and all the amenities. And that was a beautiful, fantastic experience. But after doing the seminar with Frank, we did the exchange. I drove up with Kevin, stayed in a beautiful facility. And I got to tell you, these guys are so generous, so kind, so giving. And it was so warm and wonderful to spend time, intimate time, with my CSNA grads and people out there. You've got to understand how important this is. But I learned, I grew, I derived tremendous value and insight, and of course was able to sprinkle some of that golden CSNA magic. And of course we're going to see people enroll and sign up, and this is how we're changing the world, right?
That's right. One person at a time.
Well, Frank's crowd was younger, a little different, more athletic. Then I got into the Kevin crowd, which was more a senior group interested in anti-aging, life extension, very mature, wanting to learn, wanting to find out how to stay alive. One thing I do remember that Kevin says is that money never dies. And so what that means is that people with money, people who have collected and worked hard their whole life and have got a pile of money, they don't want to die.
Yes.
They want to stay alive and now benefit from having all that money.
Exactly.
So they're interested in staying alive. And, of course, nature isn't prejudiced. She treats everyone the same. So the rules apply to them with the money as the same, whether you have money or not,
with,
right?
With or without. That's right. Absolutely.
You got to do the work.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds wonderful. So, yes, not till you're 60. And I think everybody should try entering a competition. Now, not necessarily bodybuilding, because you said there's like 32 different categories, different age groups. There's model, fitness model, physique, bodybuilding, just a wide range of different categories. And it just makes you be the best that you can be that day. And you really do meet like-minded people. That's kind of cool. But, you know, just try it once in your life, and I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can enter. You can enter, that you could be 80 years old, or you could be 16, right?
Okay, well, we're talking 2, maybe 3 days after the show, and I'm still pretty lean and looking pretty good. So I'm in the gym at the Wellness Center at Lake Geneva, and there's a woman in there. She's huffing and puffing on the elliptical machine.
Uh-huh.
I'd say she weighs max 100 pounds.
Oh.
So I go do my thing, and I'm finishing up. And you know how I do my stretch routine? I end up doing my headstand and some core training, and I put my feet back and forth and bring them down and all that. Well, she was watching me do this. I didn't realize she was watching me. But she was so impressed by that. And you know that other people, whether it's, I remember one time in Las Vegas, or just, it's funny, I do this routine and people are just amazed by it. Maybe they don't assume that because of my size that I have that athletic ability.
Exactly. That's what it is.
Maybe that's what impresses them.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you that the years of hard work and the dedication pays off. But anyway, she's got her eye on me, and she says something to me, and I can't hear because I got my iPod. I'm listening. I'm emojicating my mind. And I pull it out, and I say, pardon me. And she says, that was absolutely incredible. I was just mesmerized. It was so beautiful and so elegant. Well, I said, thank you very much. And we started chatting, and here, I'm telling you, she looked like she was 50 max. She's 65. She's Jewish, and she does not know how to do the exercises correctly. So I go behind her. I put my arms on her elbows to teach her how to do a tricep press down. Pretty basic stuff, but she's not doing it correctly. Well, she says, oh, wow, I can really feel it, man. Because she's concerned about her little...
The bat wings.
Right. She's concerned about that, as many women are. And I said, you know, that's diet, that's nutrition, and also let's have a look at what you're doing. So I made a friend, and it was all done in really good will, and it was simple. That's what you do. You just do your thing, and you will attract people to your business.
For sure, absolutely. Well,
and of course, I gave her a card.
Oh, and of course, you gave her a card.
And then she's going to go to the website. And who knows, that might later down the road end up as a CSNA for her or her grandchild or whoever, right? But she'll never forget that time because of what I gave to her. And people feel as if they get something of value when the giving is good and when it's done without expectation.
No kidding. Well, that was awesome. Thank you very much for that little update.
Yeah, and so you've got some allergies happening right now.
Oh, yeah. It's just the mold. My little mushroom, there's been a lot of rain here. And when it's dry, I don't have a problem. But then when it starts to rain and rain and rain and rain for about a week straight, really hard, mushrooms start growing out of the ground. And, you know, it gets moldy and condensation. And I just like, ugh. That's why I need someplace dry. Right?
Absolutely, and you've always done better in that dry desert climate.
Yeah, it's better for me that way. So we try to do it naturally. I take wax of vitamin C powder and chew raw garlic, and I feel better today.
Yeah.
But you need to be alone by yourself so you can deal with it, because I don't think anybody wants you around. I chew the garlic, right? So my mouth goes on fire with the garlic, and it's just killing anything that could live in there and anything that wants to live beside me. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just do what you have to do. And because I don't want to take, you go to the doctor and they don't know if it's a bacteria or if it is an allergy or if it's viral. So 9 times out of 10, they're probably going to write you a prescription. So I always like to do it myself. What I need to do, take some nice homeopathic remedies that my naturopath gives for me. And I smell a nice aromatic eucalyptus and peppermint and sage. Bergamot, I think, is in it as well. And I just breathe it with my cotton batten. Remember, I was doing that last night?
Yep.
So you try to do as natural as possible and drink lots and lots and lots of water and tea with honey and lemon. And I'm feeling better today. But you just have to really take a day just to, first you got to find out what it is. Am I getting a cold? Am I run down? What's wrong with my immune system? And then once you identify what it is, because I'd forgotten, because I haven't had any allergies for so long, and then I'm going, yeah, it was raining here. And once I looked outside and I saw the mushrooms growing, I'm going, aha, that's what it is. So,
well, that's why when you go to a physician, if you do move in that direction, you must demand some blood work or some urine analysis, because if you are infected by a virus, no antibiotic is going to help at all.
Right.
And there's millions and millions of people and kids taking antibiotics for viral infection, and that's what ruins them.
Right.
So you got to demand, I want to know what it is, because how many people do we know who get sick and die, or get sick and then it passes, and they have no idea why they were sick? Not a clue.
Yeah.
Was it a bacteria, a microorganism? Was it a fungus? Was it a deficiency of something? What was it? And it just passes. And so they live their whole life like this. And that's why people being, and I'm going to use this term lightly, gullible enough to go to the doctor not knowing what they've got, and then the doctor putting no energy into determining what it is because they don't want to spend the time and the money. It's not as profitable, right?
Right.
So they want to just give you a prescription. And so what it comes down to is this fact, that the attention given to that individual is probably the best part of the whole experience.
Right.
Because the evidence shows that whether you take the antibiotics or not makes no difference at all in the healing time or the fact that you recovered. And we're not talking about serious infectious disease treatment. We're just talking about flus and colds and things that bring people down like kids, and they go to the doctors and they put them on antibiotics. You don't need those antibiotics.
Yeah, for sure. You just need to nurture your body.
Absolutely.
You need to do and do that recipe for health, what's in our book, right? Get natural light, go out and get fresh air, fresh juices, put your feet up, get lots of rest, take the supplementation, the whole thing.
Yeah, I think right? People need to grind themselves through a hamburger grinder, filter all the gunk out, and then reassemble it back into a whole human being.
Right, exactly.
Good stuff.
And I'm on the upswing.
So well, all the best to you, dear. I hope you get through this because it's harder on me than it is on you.
Hardy har har.
What is your final word?
My final word is by Pablo Valle. No matter how many people believe or don't believe in you, you must be the ultimate believer in yourself.